Well, good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to Ignite Depot. My name is Milt Jones. I want to welcome you tonight in the name of Jesus. Let's just go ahead and declare that this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be exceedingly glad. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be exceedingly glad. Again, my name is Milt Jones. I'm the senior leader here at Ignite Depot, aka We Are ID3. I want to welcome you here with us this evening. I know that God has a right now word for us. That's a word that's in due season that will ultimately change our lives forever. If we make a decision from the very beginning that we're going to come in agreement with him to receive the word. See, you have a choice. You can either believe it and receive it, or you can say, man, I don't think I'm up on all that. So, you know, I don't want any of that. So the decision has to be made from the very beginning that you're open and ready to receive the word of God. For to him who asks, more shall be given unto him. So let's go ahead and jump right into the word right now. In the name of Jesus, we make our declaration in accordance to Isaiah 61:1. And it says this, it says that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive and open the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn. He says to appoint unto them the mourning Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, and they shall raise the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Father, to you alone, we give the glory, the honor, and praise that's due your name. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to minister your word to your sheep. Father, I thank you that our preacher, I declare that our preaching and teaching will not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it will be a demonstration of spirit and power, that the faith of the people lie not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of the Most High God. Father God, I decrease that you may increase. I covenant with you in advance for miracles, signs, wonders, manifestations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit as you see fit. Let my tongue be the tongue of a ready writer, writing the very oracles of your word on the tablets of their hearts. I believe, Father, that everyone who will hear this word has ears to hear, they have eyes to see, and their hearts are open and ready to receive the engrafted word of God that will ultimately change their lives forever. We thank you and we covenant with you in advance. In Jesus' name, let us all say amen and glory to God. Again, my name is Milt Jones. I'm the senior leader here at Ignite Depot, and I want to thank you for joining us for the service this evening. Now, we've been in a series over the last few weeks. In fact, man, this is actually week number 6 of this series. And if I was to give this message a title, the title of the series would be Practical Points of Prayer. The practical points of prayer. Now, and I did say this is week number 6. So if you know there's 6 weeks, if this is week number 6, you know there's 5 other installments that have already happened before that. And hey, if this is your first time joining us, or you just catching us, hey, you can always go back and you can either watch the video or you can go and scan our QR code that's up on the screen right now. And you can scan the podcast, Ignite to Life audio podcast, where you'll be able to catch this message and all the other messages we've done up until this point. So we're going to jump right back into it, talking about the practical points of prayer. A lot of times when people talk about prayer, they say, man, I pray, but I don't know what are the practical points of prayer. And that's the whole reason behind this, because a few weeks, probably 2 months ago now, I was in prayer and I asked the Father, what is it that you would have me to share with your people? And he says, I need you to teach my people how to pray, because a lot of people believe they know how to pray, or some people don't pray any longer because they don't see any results when they pray. They say, I don't even pray anymore because I can do better on myself. You are seriously deceived. You might get some results, but you will not get the benefit, the full results of what you could get if you do it God's way. And it's the way that this message came about. He says, I'm going to give you a scripture, and that scripture we find in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. I'm reading out the Passion Translation. It says it this way. It says, one day as Jesus was in prayer, one of his disciples came over to him as he finished praying. And this is what he said. Would you teach us a model prayer that we can pray just as John taught his disciples. So one of his disciples, a disciple we already know is a student, one of Jesus' students or one of his followers said, hey, Jesus, will you teach us a model prayer? He didn't say give us the same prayer to pray over and over and over again. He says give us a model or give us an example or give us a form of prayer that we may be able to pray just like John the Baptist gave his disciples to pray. And we found out in, you know, that God says prayer always works. It's not that prayer doesn't work. Prayer always works when you understand how to pray effectively. So if you're praying and you're not seeing as many results as you want to see, man, it might be you might need to do a couple tweaks on your prayer. And that's the whole purpose of this whole series is teaching people how to pray effectively. Now, the first thing you got to realize is that prayer is not a religious exercise. Prayer is not a religious exercise. In fact, Jesus did not even come to establish a religion. Jesus actually came to reestablish the kingdom of God in the earth. So first and foremost, prayer is not a religious exercise, but it is actually a petition or a legal request. So when you're going to prayer with God, you're not coming to him and you crying and screaming, oh Lord, because God is not moved by emotions. God is not moved by crying. God is moved by faith. But when you come to him, you're coming to him fully persuaded and full confidence that what you're going to ask him for, you already know that it's his will to give it to you. In fact, he said this, I was in prayer this morning. This is what he says. He says, it's already done. He says, when you come to prayer, you're coming in agreement with God that it's already done. He says, you're not trying to get me to do something. He says, but simply coming into agreement with what's already done from the foundation of the world. He says this, he says, you're coming into agreement with me, with my kingdom, and making your request according to my will. He says, so that my governing influence is in the earth just like it is in heaven. And we've been talking about, you know, as we've been going through the model that Jesus taught his disciples, he said, when you come to prayer, pray this way. Now, some people may ask the question, how do you know that it's already done? How do you know that the works were already finished from the very beginning? Well, it's actually something that was said in the book of Hebrews in chapter 4 and verse number 3. And this is what it says out of the New King James Version. And it says it this way. He says, for we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath that they should not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So all the works were finished from the foundation of the world. If you go back and you read all the way back in the book of Genesis chapter 2, I believe is talking about how God created the heavens and the earth. He says he finished all the works within 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. Why? Because all the works were finished. So it's not like you got to try to convince God to do something. It's not like you got to try to talk God into doing something. God says it's already done. So you come to prayer, you're not coming to prayer hoping and wishing it. Oh, please God. God's actually said this in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. He says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that when we ask anything according to his will, his plan, his purposes, and his intent, we know for surety that he hears us. And because we know that he hears us, we know we receive the petitions, the requests that we have made of him. So when you come to prayer, when you're coming to prayer fully, with full confidence, see, a lot of people try to come into prayer and try to build up their faith while they're in prayer. God says, and Jesus said this in Mark 11, 24, he says, and when you stand praying, he says, and when you pray, he says, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe, have faith that you receive it. And he said, and you will have it. So when you're coming into prayer, you're coming into prayer with an attitude, First and foremost, I already know the works was finished from the very beginning. So I'm not trying to talk God into something. And I've already spent time going through his word, which is his will, that tells me I have a legal right to make this request to him. And I know because I'm asking according to his will, I already know he's going to hear me. And because I know he hears me, I already know I receive the petitions which I desire, or the requests I have desired of him. And in fact, when you pray, you say, Father, I come in agreement with your word, which says, my God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I believe I receive it now in Jesus' name, and it is so. In fact, you say, it's already done. It's already finished. I believe I receive it. So what do you do after you make that request? You just thank God each day that it's already done, regardless of the situations, regardless of the circumstances. Father, it's already done. And I stay in agreement with you because God says in his word in Jeremiah chapter 1, he says he hastens his word to perform it, or he watches over his word to perform it, to make it good. Now, the thing about it is, though, you have to ask, which we talked about in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7 talks about, you know, ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. He says, for everyone who asks shall receive. Everyone who seeks shall find. And everyone who knocks, it shall be opened unto them. But you must ask. You ask the question, well, why do I have to ask? Because God he created the heavens and the earth. The earth, the heavens he kept, but the earth he gave to man. And Psalms 8 talks about he's put all authority under all the works of his hands under the authority of men. So just like a landlord, when you sign a lease with that landlord, even though he owns the property, he can't just come in and out whenever he gets ready to. He has to get permission. The same thing with God. When God created the heavens and the earth and he gave the earth to man, he, in accordance to Genesis chapter 1:28, he gave the authority, he gave dominion to the man. He says, I want you to multiply. I want you to replenish. I want you to be fruitful. He says, I want you to subdue. I want you to have control and dominion over the earth and all the things that's going on in the earth. That's what he gave to man from the very beginning. So God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, it's already done. If he spoke it, he shall surely make it good. And when he gave you that precious promise, this is what he's saying to you. He says, as you ask of me, according to my will, I will do it. I will do it. So what did Jesus do to his disciples? He told him, he says, okay, you guys are asking me for a model prayer or a sample prayer. Jesus says this to them in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. He says this. He says, pray then in this way. I pray this in this manner. He says, our Father. Who? First of all, you got to recognize, who are you talking to? Our Father who is in heaven. He says, holy, pure, perfect is your name. Then he goes on to say, he says, Father, when I'm coming to prayer, I'm praying that your kingdom will come. I'm praying, Father, that your governing influence will come, that your will, your purposes, your intent, your plans will be done in the earth just like it is in heaven. So when you're coming to prayer, you're not coming to prayer to try to get God to come in agreement with you. You're coming to prayer to get in agreement with what it God's will, purposes, and plans are for whatever situation and circumstance that you are facing. Because see, God already knows what you need of before you ask him, but you still have to ask. You still have to ask, and you're asking according to the kingdom. You're saying, God, your kingdom come. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is God's sovereign rulership and governing influence over his territory or his domain. And he's impacting it with his will, his intent, and his purpose. So we're saying, God, when we pray, we're asking that your governing influence will impact our homes, our families, our relationships, our government, our entertainment, our financial systems, whatever you're praying for, Father, I want your governing influence to come to impact that area so that we have your will, your intent, and your purpose each and every time. We also found out that Jesus says, he says, I'm not the destination, but Jesus says, but I am the way for you to enter into the kingdom. You can't get into the kingdom of God any other way. You can't get there by your best works. You can't do it by doing, you know, by paying a whole bunch of money. You can't go out there and, you know, if you say your good's going to outweigh your bad, if that is not how you enter into the kingdom. In fact, you cannot even understand, comprehend, or see God's governing influence in your life, you won't even understand it unless you are born again. And the only way that you can be born again or have your spirit made brand new is by receiving Jesus as Lord or supreme authority in your life. See, a lot of people try to hold a lot of things to try to, you know, they put, we call it a Frankenstein doctrine, where they put all these different beliefs together and try to come up with something special. And he says, Jesus says, I'll make it this simple for you. If you look in John chapter 3, a Jewish leader came to Jesus and says, hey, Jesus, how we know that God is with you? Because can't nobody do the things that you do except God be with them. And Jesus' answer was so unique. He says, except you be born again, you cannot perceive, understand, or comprehend God's way of doing things, or you can't understand the kingdom of God. Now, Nicodemus, when he heard this, he looked at Jesus like, man, what are you talking about? He says, can a man go back in his womb, in his mother's womb when he is old? Jesus said, he says, except you be born of the spirit and of the water, you cannot see or enter into God's way of doing things or into the kingdom of God, which is God's governing influence, impacting his territory with his will, his intent, and his purpose. Unless you are born again, when you start hearing messages like this, it sounds like foolishness to you, because like, man, how in the world can you talking about I can just pray and ask God according to his will and he's going to hear me? How do you know he hears me? Because he said, when you pray according to my will, I will hear you. Then some people say, well, where is this kingdom? Where is it located at? And Jesus answered that question for the Pharisees and the Sadducees of his day. They asked that same question, where is the kingdom? And Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, verse 21, he says this. He says, the kingdom is not discovered in one place or another, for the kingdom of God's realm is already expanding within you. Where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God, God's influence, his impacting his domain with his will, his purposes, and his intent is already on the inside of you if you are born again. If you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he is already, the kingdom of God, God's influence is already on the inside of you. Well, how did it get there? It got there through the person of the Holy Spirit. The moment you receive the Holy Spirit, because you cannot get born again without the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus is the way, but the Holy Spirit is the one who comes on the inside of you, and he regenerates and makes your spirit brand new. He takes out that old sin nature, which Adam and Eve received when they bowed their knee to Satan in the Garden of Eden, and he replaces it with the nature of God, or the kingdom of God, God's influence. God's influence is now, if you're born again, God's influence impacting your life with his will, his purposes, and his intent already lives on the inside of you. In fact, Jesus said this. He says in verse numbers, I'm reading John chapter 14, verse 16, and it says this. It says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate or a helper who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all the truth. He says the world cannot receive him because it's not looking for him and he does not recognize him. But Jesus says this, but you know him, You know who? You know the Holy Spirit because he lives with you now, and later he lives in you. So the Holy Spirit is not some will feeling. He is a live person. He dwells on the inside of you. And everywhere you go, he goes with you. Some people say, I remember I was growing up in church. They used to say, if you mess up, the Holy Spirit will leave you. But the word of God says the Holy Spirit will never leave you. He's always going to live on the inside of you. And wherever you go, he goes. So if you're going somewhere you know you're not supposed to go, you're going to get a check. Or you're going to get an impression on the inside of you like, hey, you know you're not supposed to be here. You know you're not supposed to be looking at that. You know you need to get up and pray. You know you need to spend time reading your Bible. What is he always going to do? He's always going to lead and guide you into all truth. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take it a step farther. Well, I'm not. The word of God is your body. Because the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of you, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. In fact, it says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. It says, do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives in you? He lives in you, whom you have received as a gift from God. He says, you are not your own. The Holy Spirit is not, you don't have to say, come Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit is like, I'm right here. I'm right here. The moment you receive Jesus, I moved on the inside of you and I am with you everywhere you go. In fact, I have a couple nicknames for the Holy Spirit. I call him the GPS of God, which is God's positioning system. Why do I call him God's positioning system? Because just like Siri and just like a navigator, if you're going a direction, you say, hey, I'm trying to get to this destination. And it says, when you start out on that destination, the Holy Spirit will lead you and tell you which ways to go. I also call him the central intelligence agent. And because he knows every secret, every intent, every purpose, not only of your heart, but also the heart of the people that you're interacting with. And if you invite him into your meetings, or you invite him into your conversations, or you invite him into your studies, he will lead you and he will show you things that you know not. But what is his role in the kingdom of God? His role in the kingdom of God, he is the governor. What is a governor? He is one who is sent from a king to cultivate or to develop the domain into the image of the kingdom he represents. So what does the Holy Spirit do, who's working on the inside of you with the governing influence of God? He's cultivating you and he's shaping you and molding you. And what he's teaching you is to how to operate. He's trying to cultivate you into the image of the kingdom, which he represents. How? Through the laws, or the customs, or the culture, or the language of that kingdom. The Holy Spirit will only be able to lead and guide you according to the kingdom of God, through God's ways of doing things. So when you are reading your word, he is showing you, this is God. Hey, I'm studying this word. I'm reading the word. Then Holy Spirit, show me how to apply this to my everyday life. And what the Holy Spirit would do was take the word that you read from the word of God and show you how to practically apply it to your everyday life, including when it's time for you to go into prayer. See, the Holy Spirit has three names that I'm going to share with you tonight. And then I'm going to show you the practical parts of how the Holy Spirit will help you when you pray. First of all, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. He is the Spirit of life. In fact, Jesus said this about him. He says this in John chapter 6, verse 63. He says the Holy Spirit is the one who gives life. Just like we were talking about, when you get born again, it's the Holy Spirit who regenerates or makes new, makes your spirit brand new, and takes out that old nature, replaces it with the new nature, the nature of God, the kingdom of God that will dwell on the inside of you. He is the one who gives life. It says that which is of the natural realm is of no help. It says Jesus says this, the words that I speak, he says to you, they are spirit and they are life. He says, but there are some of you who won't believe. Jesus is saying it. He says the Holy Spirit, he's the spirit of life. Remember, Jesus says he is the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of life who brings about life. Number two, he is the spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is not only the spirit of life, but he's also the spirit of truth. What does it say here? This in John chapter 14, verse 16. It says, Jesus says this, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. Now, easy way to remember the Holy Spirit and what he does is this, C-H-A-I-S-S. And it means chases. And this is what it means. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. He's a helper. He's an advocate. He's an intercessor. He's a strengthener. And he's a standby. I'll say that again. He's a comforter. He's a helper. He's an advocate. He's an intercessor. He's a strengthener. And he is your standby. And Jesus says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comfort. Jesus said, everything that I have, I'm going to send you somebody else who's going to have the exact same things. And he says this, and what does he do? That he may abide with you forever. He's the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it either sees him nor knows him. He says, but you know him. Well, how do you know him? Because he dwells in you and he will be in you. And he is the helper. He's the spirit of life. He's the spirit of truth. And he is the helper. Now, what does the helper do? The helper says this in John chapter 14, verse 26. It says this, that the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, Jesus said, he will teach you in all things and bring back to your remembrance all the words in which Christ has said unto you. So he's going to teach you in all things and bring back to your remembrance all the words which Christ has said unto you. John 16, verse number 13 says this about the Holy Spirit as your helper. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. So who is the person of the Holy Spirit? He's the governor. And what does the governor do? He's cultivating us into the image of the kingdom, which he represents with the laws, with the culture, with the language of the kingdom of God. And what does he do? He's our spirit of life. He's the spirit of truth. He is the helper, and he has four functions. He will lead and guide you into all truth. He will teach you in all things. He will bring back to your remembrance all the words which Christ has said unto you, and he will also show you things which are to come. The Holy Spirit will show you things which are to come. And it leads us to, how does the Holy Spirit help us in our prayers? Well, if you would turn with me over and you say, well, what do you mean? I need the Holy Spirit. Can I give you a word? Jesus needed the Holy Spirit in order to carry out his ministry. Jesus needed the Holy Spirit to carry out his ministry. How do you know? Because it says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? The Holy Spirit and power. So Jesus needed the Holy Spirit and power to do what? And Jesus went about doing good works, doing good, and healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. So if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit in order to carry out his assignment, you and I are going to need the Holy Spirit to be able to carry out our assignment. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 8. I apologize. Romans chapter 8. Verse 26, and we're going to list three ways that the Holy Spirit will help you in prayer. First of all, Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says this about the Holy Spirit, who is our helper. And what does the Holy Spirit do in prayer? It says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we do not know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be uttered or expressed in words. What do you mean the Holy Spirit will help you pray? When you get ready to come into prayer, you say, Holy Spirit, what is the position of prayer today? Or what is it that I need to pray for today? Now, if you have been filled with the Holy Spirit with the Bible evidence of speaking in unknown tongues, you can pray in your heavenly language, praying in unknown tongues, and you're praying the perfect will of God concerning whatever situation or circumstance that it is that you're facing with. But you say, well, what if I haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it's as easy as it was when you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as far as manifesting the gift of praying in the Spirit. But if you are already born again, you already have the same Holy Spirit in you, what do? You just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what is it that I should pray for today? And he will begin to give you unctions, or he will begin to impress upon you things that you need to pray for. It might come in the form of a scripture. Like for me, sometimes it might come in the form, and I pray in the unknown tongue, but I also get unctions or impressions that I might get a scripture. And that scripture might pop up and, hey, I need you to pray concerning this. And I begin to pray concerning it. I pray within my understanding in my English language, but I also pray in the unknown tongue when I run out of the words to say concerning that thing. So the Holy Spirit will help you when you pray, because you don't always know what you need to pray for as you ought to pray. The second thing he will do is this. You already know that when he's going to help you pray, it's going to be in line with God's will. Remember, when we pray according to God's will, we know that he hears us. It talks about here that in verse 27, Romans 8, 27 says this, and the Father who knows all hearts know what is the Holy, what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. So when we're praying in the unknown tongue, when we're praying in the unknown tongue, we're praying according to God's perfect will. And the God already knows, and the Holy Spirit already knows what God's perfect will concerning that situation is. So when you begin to pray, you already know I'm praying in line with God's perfect will. And the great thing about knowing that you're praying according to God's perfect will is this. You know that everything will work for good. You know everything will work for good. And according to Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says this. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who, first of all, love God and who are called according to his purpose. So when we begin to pray in the unknown tongue, when we begin to come into prayer and we say, Father, my desire is to pray according to that your kingdom will come, that your will be done in earth just like it is in heaven, and you're asking the Holy Spirit to help you to pray, the Holy Spirit will begin to give you unction. And if you are praying in your unknown tongue, he will begin to give you utterance. And as you begin to get utterance, now he won't pray for you, but you have to open up your mouth and yield your mouth to him so that you can begin to pray. And as you're praying in the unknown tongue, you may not know the things that you're praying about, but you do have this assurance that when you're praying in the unknown tongue, you're praying according to God's most perfect will. And if you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Bible evidence of speaking in tongue, it's so simple that all you got to do is ask. All I got to do is ask. All you have to do is ask. In fact, Jesus said it this way in Luke chapter 11. He says, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the Bible evidence of speaking in tongues, it's so simple. It's all you have to do is ask. It's as simple as this. Father, your word says that if someone wants to receive the Holy Spirit, they can receive the Holy Spirit with the Bible evidence of speaking in tongues. And I'm asking for you now. And as you give me the utterance, Holy Spirit, I will begin to pray. It's so simple. It's so simple to receive. But you say, hey, but what if I don't receive it? What if I don't want to receive that? If you don't receive it, guess what? The Holy Spirit will still help you in prayer. Because all you got to do is say, Holy Spirit, please help me to pray according to God's most perfect will, which means you have had to spend some time in God's word to find out whatever God's will is concerning your money, regarding your finances, regarding your family, regarding your government. What does the word of God say about my government? What does the word of God say about people who might have sinned against me? What does the word of God say how I'm supposed to be a husband? What does the word of God say how I'm supposed to be a wife? What does the word of God say is how I'm supposed to be a parent? So when you go in the word and you start studying to find out what the word of God says, then when you come to God and he says, Holy Spirit, how do I pray? Help me to pray. He will show, hey, remember that scripture and where it says, you know, in Ephesians 6:1-3 about how, you know, children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with promise, and how fathers raise your children in the love and admonition of the Lord. Hey, Father, I'm coming in agreement with you concerning Ephesians chapter 6:3, that I'm raising my children in the love and admonition of the Lord. So when you begin to pray, the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you into the truth, to the places where you need to pray. And when you begin to pray, you know that God hears you. And when you know he hears you, you believe, you receive it. And what are you going to do? You're going to take hold of it, or you're going to lay hold on it, or seize what it is you're praying for. And then after that, you're going to thank God every day that it's already done. It's already done. And the Holy Spirit is there to lead you, to guide you, to direct you, show you those things which are to come, and to bring back to your remembrance everything that the word of God has said unto you. Do you see how simple it is when you allow the Holy Spirit to be your helper in prayer? But if you haven't received Jesus before as your Lord and Savior and you like to, man, it's so simple. It's so simple a child can do it. What do you have to do? Man, in accordance to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, it says this. It says, the word of God is near you, it's in your heart, it's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which you preach. That if you will confess, that word confess in the Greek means to assent or to agree. If you agree that Jesus is Lord and that he died and was rose again on the third day, you shall be saved. That word saved means healed, set free, delivered, made whole, and complete. He says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with your mouth, your confession or your agreement is made unto salvation. So what do? You pray this simple prayer with me, confess it out of your, confess with your mouth, believe it in your heart, and man, you lay hold on salvation this very hour and this very day. Do this with me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in the grave, but now he's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me now. I repent of sin. I receive your offer of forgiveness. Right now, I receive the Holy Spirit right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, we want to welcome you into the kingdom of God, welcome you into right relationship with God, and welcome you in right position. Man, what do you do now? You got to get in a word-based church that teaches you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but also teaches you about the love of God, talks about the kingdom of God. And man, I tell you what, glory to God, this is a brand new day for you. Now that you receive Jesus, your Lord and Savior, now that you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, what do you do now? Man, you got to start asking him, Holy Spirit, show me how to apply this word that I'm hearing to my life. Holy Spirit, show me how to pray. Holy Spirit, lead and guide me into all truth. And you're going to have to establish a study habit of reading the Word of God. I recommend you start at the book of John and go from John and start reading back into the book of Romans and Acts, and just because it's going to tell you how to operate as members of the body of Christ. Now, you can join us here each week. We're here each week, 6 p.m. Atlantic Daylight Standard Time, or 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And man, we'd love to have you, walk you through it, teach you line upon line, precept upon precept. Again, we said, hey, if you want to hear this message again and all the other messages that led up to this, man, scan the QR code for Ignite Depot as you are at Ignite to Life audio podcast. You can hear this message and all the other messages. Like, subscribe, so you can catch when a new podcast comes out. If you want to support the ministry, we're always looking for people who are interested in supporting, so we can keep this word going all across the world. This message literally goes all across the world every single week in the name of Jesus. So you can be a part of that as well. And we also want to announce to you, hey, we published the first book, Glory to God. It's talking about a point of no return. And what it's going to do is going to help you find your discovery, your true identity and purpose. If you're interested in doing that, man, scan the QR code. It's available on Amazon throughout the world and everything. I know that will be a blessing to your life and to your family's life. So we're so thankful to God for that opportunity. Now, on behalf of Pastor Juwen and the entire Ignite Nation, we want to thank you for joining us here tonight. And remember this, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you. He is ready and available to help you to pray. And all you have to do is ask him to help you. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.